T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget to download the radio.com app. Search 95.7 The Game and add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, and use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Kenny Smith. We forgot to ask him whether or not he was the real Jet. That's how good that interview was. Check it out at 95.7thegame.com. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Forgot to ask the Jet about that nickname. Cannot believe it.
Wow.
Got caught up in a top 10 list or whatnot. And speaking of top 10 lists, we're going to dissect Dan Dibley's list. We got about 55 minutes until Daryl the Guru Johnson's on the clock. So we've done this on Monday. We did it on Tuesday. And Lowe and Joe Fortenbaugh just completely failed. I mean, Deion Sanders, number two. I mean, it's just throw your list away and just say,
pack your bags. Just pack your bags.
Just delete your list. Dan Dibley's on the clock today. And he starts off with the bang. Russell Bayes, and I'm not trying to disrespect jockeys at all.
I love him.
But Russell Bayes, a top 10 Bay Area athlete. Come on. Are we just making a mockery of this whole assignment? Is that what we're doing now, fellas?
It's an aptitude test to me. I mean, that's what this is. This is, are you allowed to get on the bus or not? Or are you going to stay at home and be homeschooled? Because some of these guys should. They need to stay home. They need to hop on YouTube, and they need to figure out, you know, Google history of Bay Area sports, okay? You'll scroll down through thousands of pages before you get to Russell Bayes? I mean, really? I mean, we're exposing people and their knowledge of Bay Area history and its perspective in the entire arc of sports. It's driving me nuts. Look, my list is personal to me. I know Bonte's is personal to him. Goo, yours is going to be personal to you. And I grew up, and I didn't love the A's. Now, I put Ricky Henderson in there. Had I been an A's fan, I'm sure I would have had Reggie Jackson on my list. I'm sure I would have had a different list than what I ended up coming up with. But on no list in any Bay Area top 10 should Kerry Walsh, Katie Ledecky, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods isn't even – here's the thing. Tiger Woods spent 2 years in Stanford. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. He spent 2 years, right? 2 years in Stanford, okay? Johnny Miller's actually from San Francisco and won two majors and actually stays in the Northern California area and is one of the greatest broadcasters in golf history. Like, again, none of the logic on the morning show made any sense. But are you surprised? I mean, are you surprised at this point?
Dibs and I have broke bread. I call him a mentor, fellas. We've had some great talks, and hopefully he lives till he's 200. But if I went to his funeral and they passed out the obituary and it said he had Russell Bayes as his top 10 Bay Area athlete, I would get up and say, I didn't know my friend because I never knew he held him in that high regard. And that one was, I was in the shower and he said, Bayes. I said, whoa, you think you know people. You think you know,
Guru, I turned my radio off for about 5 minutes after I heard that. Guru, you know me well. Shasky knows me well. I got heated. It actually made me angry when I heard Russell Bayes.
Yes. Saying,
let me turn the radio off. Let me get me a cup of coffee and let me take some deep breaths here. But I can't believe what I just heard here.
But
Charles Woodson, we'll get to Charles Woodson in a second. I don't get the fascination of having Charles Woodson on the Bay Area list. And I love C. Wood.
Look at his
accolades.
You're talking about a guy
with my boys.
Just rookie of the year in the town, and that's it. Everything was with Green Bay. That's all.
But Guru, this is the greatest of the greats. Yeah, that's my point. And if you just look at the Raiders, understand the history of the Raiders themselves. If that's the criteria you're going to use, Gene Upshaw, Kenny Stabler, Jim Plunkett. How about Art Shell? I can name Fred Biletnikoff. Let me go old man
Jack
Willie
Tatum.
Brown.
Yeah.
Jack Tatum.
Tatum. Like, George Atkinson.
Again, I love Charles Woodson. I'm not convinced he's a top five Oakland Raider of all time. I mean, Tim Brown is probably more recognized as an L.A. Raider. That's why Howie Long didn't make my list, really? And a lot of those guys. But
Marcus Allen.
I mean, come on. I'm taking Tim Brown over Charles Woodson if it's just the return to Oakland. Like, I could even make an argument. Years 39 and 40, as in the ages for Jerry Rice, were more impressive than anything Charles Woodson did in an Oakland Raider uniform.
Ooh.
He had 100 catches, 92 catches and 1,200 yards at 40 years old. I mean, Shasta. No one will ever touch that.
Hey, Guru, I know you saw my mentions yesterday on IG.
Oh, I had my popcorn. I didn't even tell you. I was just reading them. But you got some love, too, B. So did Shasta. Shasta got some love.
We definitely got some love here. Let's go to Armando real quick. Armando in SF wants to defend Dan Dibley and his list. Armando, you're on BS&G here on 95.7 today. What's up, Mondo?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? So I'm going to defend Dibley on his Russell Bates thing because my top 10, I have Russell Bates number 10 also. And I'm over here, Shasky's over here talking about, get on research and know your stuff. Well, you know Russell Bates won over 12,000 races, right? Now,
Were any of them majors? Any major races? Any of them? Or were they all just the minor league circuit? Well, is that what we're doing?
We are talking about the best Bay Area athletes, right?
No, this is the greatest of the greats. This is not like if that's the case, throw De La Salle on the list. Like, throw De La Salle. They won 151 straight games. This is the greatest of the greats.
Racing or sport?
No! It's not a primary sport. There's three primary sports: baseball, football, and basketball. I love soccer and hockey.
Let Bondo finish.
Well,
Bondo, go ahead.
He says he took his list personal. I'm going to take my list personal. Everybody has their own criteria. When I heard the top 10 list, everybody has their own criteria. Now, you can back up the truck on me. I did not have Willie Mays on there and under my top 10 list, and I should have included him in there, but I'm going to ride with my list. Russell Bates, over 12,000 wins in his career. Now, this is Bay Area athlete only. Now, if you want to go nationally, Russell Bates not even in the top 20 jockeys all the time. But if you talk about Bay Area list, he won the Camino Derby 9 times, Camino Real Derby 9 times, which is the feature race at Golden Gate Field for 3-year-old folks. I could keep going on. The Del Mar Dubonte Stakes in 1986, over 12,000 wins.
I hear you,
Bob.
Who's the second best jockey? Like, I can't even name a second jockey. What's his great moment? Again, what's the moment? Oh, that time on a Tuesday night in February of 87. Oh, when he won that race, it was incredible. All seven people in the stand saw it.
I hadn't heard that name in forever. Russell Bates. But it's Dibley's list. That's the beautiful thing about this exercise. It's his list, Bonte.
The only memories as a kid I have with my father is at the racetrack. Because my dad's side of the family were big gamblers when it came to horse racing. I had no idea who Russell Bates was. I had to pull over, turn the radio off, Google Russell Bates, and then put my phone down to just think for a second. How the hell did Russell Bates? And I respect all his accomplishments. Over 1,200 wins. That's impressive. Impressive. But in the Bay Area, you're going to put Russell Bates over Willie Mays? Yeah. Imagine having that over your obituary.
I didn't know horse racing was even an option. But Dibs did. I didn't, I didn't even think that was a category. And I ain't dissing horse racing. But I'm just like, wow. But that's his list. That's what I keep saying, Butch. That's his list. Kenny the Jet.
If Russell wanted to call and defend himself, he could have just said his name was Russell. He didn't have to go by Mondo.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, right. R.I.P. Wow. Russell.
You got in for that one?
Right. Yeah. Boom, roasted. All right, so we're talking about top five Raiders, Oakland Raiders, Shasky. I'm with you here because, fellas, I asked a question yesterday, an honest question. I thought this was very just straightforward because I see Joe Fortenbaugh. Now, blame me Joe Fortenbaugh for this. He had Charles Woodson as his number one athlete in Bay Area sports history. I love me some Charles Woodson. I love what he did in 97. I love how he punked David Boston at against Ohio State at the Big House. I loved him picking off Ryan Leaf in the Rose Bowl when they were about to go down 14-0. I love all that stuff about C. Wood. But an honest question, when you look at the history of the Oakland Raiders, I'm talking about Jim Otto. I'm talking about Casper. I'm talking about Stabler. I'm talking about Shell and Upshaw and all those greats. As an Oakland Raider, 888-957-9570. I don't think it's a dumb question. Is Charles Woodson even a top five Oakland Raider? He's a great player, let alone being number one in the Bay Area sports history. That's laughable. That is just blasphemous.
Well,
but just as an Oakland Raider, fellas, and look, Charles Woodson replied. He said, minus the championships, I will put my career up against anybody. He's supposed to say that. And I respect you, yeah. C. Wood, for even replying to that. But so many people were triggered by that tweet. And I'm thinking, was everybody just bored after 1995? What's going on here?
Yeah. Well, look, and if we're being, like, again, you want nuance here, and this goes back, Joe, Raider games weren't on television when Woodson first got here. Like, they were all blacked out. Again, we all love Charles Woodson and recognize how great he was, but if a tree falls in the forest and no one sees it, did it really happen? I mean, no one saw it. Again, we love Charles Woodson. Gene Upshaw, Art Schell, you brought up, obviously, Plunkett. You can go with Kenny Stabler. All these guys, their resumes, their body of work. Not only do they have the individual accomplishments, not only are they all a part of all-decade teams, they also have the championships that you have to have. You also have to have the championships. Look, if you don't have the championships, you need to be an all-time great and a trendsetter like Barry Bonds, right? You need to have something in your sport where you're the greatest at. As good as Charles Woodson is, great. He is great as Charles Woodson was. He's not even in the top five for Oakland Raiders for me. And other fans may disagree. What about you, Goo?
Yeah, you talk about the town, Oakland, swag. Charles Woodson had that coming out of Michigan. He was supposed to be their Deion. And I know he made some Pro Bowls and also Rookie of the Year. But if I ask you his biggest game in a Raider uniform, I'll wait. You know, he blossomed in Green Bay, and that's why I just thought there was a lot of meat on the bone when he left as a Raider, and he even admitted he had to grow up some. But I'll just say this, and see what could call in. I love him to death. What T.O. did to him in a few Battle of the Bays, I'm telling you, was criminal and sinister.
Overtime?
And man, I mean, a few of them. And, you know, that's nothing to, okay, you know, T.O. got you. But Charles Woodson's a great player, but to me, his best days were a Packer. And I know Raider fans, it hits him in the cardiac muscle because when he came out, he was supposed to signal, okay, we're back on top. And it didn't exactly go that way. But people are hanging on to it like they did something I missed. And
yeah, here's the thing with Charles Woodson. Once he left Oakland the first time and he went to Green Bay, first of all, he only had one contract available.
Okay.
Green Bay was the only team that wanted to touch him because his stock was so down for the way his tenure, his first tenure with the Oakland Raiders went. And I know a lot of Raider fans were saying, man, Woodson ain't all that. Woodson ain't all that. He could just leave. He could just leave. He blossomed in Green Bay, won a DPOY, won a championship, and he came back. His second tenure with the Raiders, I'm honestly here. His second tenure with the Raiders may be more impressive than his first tenure with the Raiders. Because, look, he was a top five pick coming out of Michigan. He was supposed to be a baller. But his second tenure with the Raiders, the game that stands out, Peyton Manning. They did lose the game, but two interceptions.
Wow,
switched positions, was
one.
A safety. Became a leader in Oakland. I remember Darrell Revis and Woodson on the field exchanging jerseys, and Revis was like, that's the man right there. He got so much respect for what he brought back to Oakland after the way his first tenure ended that I think that's why people are a little in love with Charles Woodson. He showed love to the Raiders at a time nobody was showing love to the Raiders. They were a downtrodden franchise. They were terrible. They're coming off of Tony Sparano, rest in peace. And
Barry the Wilson.
It was just terrible football. So
Tom Cable.
I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this about Woodson being a top five Oakland Raider, let alone being a top Bay Area athlete of all time. That is laughable. Laughable.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, look. He can be on the list in top 10 if you wanted to. Like that's your prerogative. He can't be number one. You can't have Deion Sanders number two. Him and Lowe, were you here? The guy was here for a cup of tea. Deion literally was not in a 49er uniform for more than 6 months. Literally was not here for more than 6 months. You're telling me you're putting his body of work ahead of someone like, I don't know, Willie Mays, who spent 22 years in San Francisco, was a 24-time All-Star. Willie McCovey, who was 19 years in San Francisco. Barry Bonds, 18 years in San Francisco. Oh, and 4 years in high school. Oh, and then just, you know, grew up here. Then Ricky Henderson? Then Ricky Henderson, one of the greatest athletes in Oakland history? Again, it's absurd. It makes me sad. It really does. It makes me sad that they have taken so little time to appreciate what the Bay Area represents. As someone who's born and raised here, it legitimately makes me sad seeing some of these lists.
And I'll say this. The beautiful thing about this whole process is the criteria. And for Joe Fortenbaugh, even though there were some shockers on his list, he focused on the word athlete. So I'll give him Woodson on that definition because he did wear a Raider uniform.
What about
coming
Mark
out of
Spitz
college?
Then?
We knew he could do it. And I wouldn't say no to that. So I get it from that perspective. But I just think a lot of people are on the internet right now, Raider fans, in their feelings, as if he was Deion as a Raider. And I must have missed that or been asleep because what he did in Green Bay is what he was supposed to do in Oakland. I know it's a team game, but I can't put him up there in the top Bay Area 10. And you know, maybe shame on me, but obviously I'm not alone because you two, you know, are basically saying the same thing.
Well, and look, no one is saying he's not great. All these guys that we're talking about are great.
Right.
But if you want to be the greatest of all time, again, you have to be hands down, unequivocally, one of the best ever in your sport and at your position specifically. And I don't think that that meets the criteria for some of these people that I'm seeing on this list. Look, if you're putting Olympians on here who we clap for on our couch for a week every 4 years, once or twice in their entire life, get at Katie Ledecky and Kerry Walsh. I mean, give me a break. Most people have no idea they even lived in the Bay Area. Like, and just get out of here with that.
You know, let's go out to the phone lines here, fellas. And I got some more stuff on Woodson because people are just going crazy because, he had a number 24 jersey that was the highest selling. I'm not talking about jersey sales. I'm not talking about popularity. Hey, and if
Jared
you guys
Hayne,
want to keep it real,
he sold
the biggest, the biggest game that Woodson had is an Oakland Raider when they went to the Super Bowl to play Tampa Bay. I remember Keenan McCardell catching a couple touchdown passes one-on-one against Charles Woodson. And you can blame it on a turf toe if you want to. I don't care. That's your prerogative. But Keenan McCardell beat Charles Woodson. And tell me if I'm lying at 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, what is happening?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Hey, man, Charles Woodson is loved by Raider fans, man. Like, I got brothers that call him a GOAT. When I was in middle school, high school, man, they throw so many Charles Woodson jerseys, I thought that was the school uniform, you know what I'm saying? So he is loved. And at the end of the day, he made a potential game-clinching play on the GOAT, Tom Brady, in a playoff game that got reversed because of tuck rule. Now, how often does somebody make a game-clinching play in a playoff game on a GOAT in any sport? It doesn't happen very often. Well, Charles Woodson did it, and, you know, got called back.
No, they didn't. Antonio. They got the ball, okay, New England, and marched down twice after the tuck and were throwing the ball literally on every single play to Troy Brown. Go back and watch that, Antonio. I don't think you're remembering exactly what ended up happening. He made an unbelievable play. They got screwed, and then they could not stop the New England Patriots, not once but twice.
Beaker with the recovery.
Come on now. They were down after that. It was kind of like, you know, Nick Anderson missing those free throws, and after that, you know, the series was pretty much over, you know, like.
It was over at the tuck rule. Thanks for the phone call, Antonio. It was a terrible call, and it was over, but people
forget. The worst in sports.
That Pittsburgh, it was a terrible, terrible call. It may have changed legacies. Who knows? It's Tom Brady that we know now if that call doesn't get reversed. But don't forget, the Steelers are away to get an AFC championship, although I think the Raiders would have beat the Steelers. Would they have beat the greatest show on turf, the Rams, the St. Louis Rams, with Anthony Dorsett at strong safety? Are you kidding me? Let's not act like the Super Bowl title was lost there in New England.
The angles
they would have had to do a lot of work.
Terrific.
Absolutely. Let's go to David Pittsburgh. David Pittsburgh wants to talk about Tim Lincecum here on 95.7 The Game. Dave, what's on your mind here? Good morning.
What up, fellas, man? How you guys doing today?
Can't complain.
All right, man. So here it goes. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I think that Charles Woodson, number one overall, is a complete joke. But I'm looking at everybody's list as the days go on, and I don't see Timmy on there once on anybody's list. And I could say I never seen Willie Mays play or McCovey, but having Bonds on there is something. But Timmy has to be on somebody's list somewhere. I mean, for that 3-year stretch, the guy was like untouchable in baseball, and he was just like one of those dominant pitchers of all time in that little stretch that he had. Like, it just blows my mind. Me and my buddy Jesse were sitting there talking about it, and we're scratching our heads day and day and days. Like, why isn't
Are you a Giants fan? Are you a Giants fan? Okay.
Yeah,
Have
yeah,
you
yeah.
ever Googled Juan Marichal? Just look at Juan Marichal's body of work, okay? Almost 300 career wins. He tripled everything. I love Lincecum. I absolutely love him. And yes, you're right. That four-year window was as special and as good as any. But this is the best of the best of the best. And we're leaving Reggie Jackson and his 10-year amazing career, I am at least, on the chopping block. I'm leaving Juan Marichal and 20 years in a Giants uniform on the chopping block. I'm leaving Chris Mullin and his whatever, 17-year, 11, 12 years in a Warrior uniform on the chopping block. Sometimes somebody gets squeezed. And I agree. I love Lincecum. But he just doesn't have the longevity for me.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess the longevity thing's a big one. But for me, it was more of like who I watch. And I mean, I can't go back and like watch reruns or highlights of those old careers. But like the people that I watched in my lifetime, that guy was something that was so dominant that I just think he deserved a place on the list.
No, I respect that, Dave. I respect that.
Somebody's going to always get left off, man. That's the beautiful thing about this. And I felt like the people were over my shoulder that I was leaving off, you know, honorable mentions. I mean, this is a phenomenal thing about the list. And, Shasky, I heard you last night. You mentioned your pops and why you had
different people.
Dude, that was awesome. And
it
I got that on my
it.
List.
Yeah, Rick
so
Barry.
I can't. Yeah, that was awesome, man.
So like, for example, like, look, we're talking about Lincecum right now. Guys, if we're going to say Lincecum's window was incredible and unmatched, well, then I can make the same argument for Dave Stewart, who was actually born and raised in Oakland and had an unbelievable
run and has
the championships.
That's just,
right?
Wow,
and Dave Stewart was on my honorable mentions. And I was like, Dave Stewart, like, again, it's Lincecum, Dave Stewart. That's who I'm handing the ball to in a must win. Maybe Bumgarner as well. But it's not just about, you know, how great were you in the moment? It's about how great were you over a long period of time?
Right,
did you also have individual accolades and team accolades? There's a lot of things that go involved in this, and it's just so hard. Dave Stewart, Lincecum, I mean, we could go through so many different Mad Bum. Goof. They all had their moments, but you didn't have them put it together for decades.
Yeah. Who is the one guy you left off that you're like, damn, how did I leave him off? Give us a little sample.
Russell Bays.
Rick Barry. And Rick Barry. And he's not alone, fellas, because I love sports and I did my due diligence.
Seriously.
I'll save my speech because I got a little speech before I do my list. But a lot of, you know, my list was predicated on who I saw. And I ain't ignoring the past, but it was who I saw. It was like a timeline of my life, B. And
gotcha. I respect that. That's what's coming up here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Chilton Automotive.
I respect
that. Daryl the Guru Johnson will unveil his top 10 list of the greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. And fans, don't forget, you will ultimately determine who the top 10 is. Submit your list and send them to us on Twitter at 95.7 The Game or at 95.7TheGame.com or our Facebook page, and we'll talk about some of our favorites so far in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't forget to submit your list to 95.7 The Game because your list will determine the ultimate top 10 list here on 95.7 The Game, and it's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options, along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your own vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Vontae Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh boy, we got Daryl the Guru Johnson's top 10 of the greatest athletes in Bay Area history. It's coming up in about 26 minutes. I know the butterflies are floating, Goo. Don't forget to submit your list, fans. Listeners, fans, everybody, you're part of this process. Submit your list at 95.7 The Game because your list will determine the ultimate top 10. People can submit their list, then send them to us on Twitter at 95.7 The Game or 95.7TheGame.com or our Facebook page, and we'll talk about some of our favorites in the 1 o'clock hour right here on BSNG. Matt Steinmetz is out. Hopefully he got his new 7-iron. He's getting ready for a tournament with Dan Dibley. He'll be back on Tuesday. Till then, we got the one and only.
It's overrated.
Hell no. Absolutely not. He's not listening to us.
I think he is.
He's not listening to us.
I don't even care if he is listening. Because you know what? These guys don't want the smoke. Me and Lucas, the producer, have challenged Steiny and Dibs. I wrote for you, too. Their Q rating. I mean, look at both of their lists. Their Q ratings stink. And the fact that these guys don't want any smoke on the golf course, they didn't invite me up to Old Greenwood. I already played there this summer. I'm so over the two of them and their golf journeys that they go on and don't want to invite anyone someone who might be better than them at a particular thing, which I'm better at them than, you know, a lot of things.
I said you were the best one at the station. I don't think that went over well. I said you're the best.
It's factually correct. Yeah. It's factually correct.
Yeah. We got Samuel in Oakland. This is a great tweet, and it's going to cause some controversy if we go out there and tweet it out. Gentlemen, love the discussion. Charles Woodson, love the guy. However, he's not the best to even wear number 24 in silver and black. That belongs to old man Willie. Willie Brown, number 24. That's Samuel in Oakland. Samuel, because Guru and Shasky,
that's not even
I got so much smoke. I'm still getting tagged in tweets and messages this morning about, and I'm not trying to disrespect Charles Woodson. I never said he wasn't a great player, but to name him not only the number one athlete in Bay Area sports history, Joe Fortenbaugh, but also the fact that he's not even a top five Oakland Raider. There's no crime in that. He's one of the best DBs of all time. Joe Spadoni was just talking down the line. He is a top five DB. Top 10, at least, a DB of all time. There's no doubt about that.
It's so hard. There's so many great DBs.
There's so many great DBs. But come on, folks. I'm not disrespecting C. Wood. He's not a top five Oakland Raider. He's just not.
And you mentioned in his second stint, that I hadn't even thought about that. His second stint as a Raider, Shasky, could arguably be more impressive than the first one. Because if the first one had went according to plan, he would have never donned a Packer uniform.
This is really hard. I think Raider fans lose their minds because you're not mentioning Marcus Allen or Bo Jackson. They played in L.A., right? Yeah. So there was this giant window where guys like Howie Long, Marcus, Bo Jackson, we can't even include those guys.
Hello?
And even Tim Brown. It probably knocks Tim Brown down unfairly because he spent 6-7 years in L.A. as an L.A. Raider. Like, it sucks, but that's the reality. And I love Tim Brown. Tim Brown, Mr. Raider to me. I mean, he's the epitome of class and consistency, even when the quarterback was absolutely atrocious. I wanted to ask you, though, Goo, because you said you don't have Rick Barry on your top 10 because you didn't see him play. When I'm just curious as far as like cultural impact, because I look at stuff like, you know, like I said, my dad, that's his favorite player of all time. I'd be in the backyard and we learned the game. There was three players, Dr. J, Pistol Pete, Rick Barry. Those were my dad's guys, right? And you doing the grandmama, the under the legs, shooting the free throws. It's an iconic moment. He's also one of the most iconic players in NBA history. And we talked earlier about how, Magic might get bumped for someone like Kobe or something like that. Rick Barry was bumped by Larry Bird. That's what ended up happening in the evolution of the NBA. And he is a forgotten man. Rick Barry is one of the greatest players ever. I'm not saying he shouldn't be on your list. Your list is yours. But I don't think that we properly rate him in the context of where he ended his career.
And I'll say this for Rick Barry, who I've called other radio stations at different ages in my life, clamoring for Rick Barry to be the coach of the Golden State Warriors at a time that Mike Montgomery and other guys were getting shots at the job. And the reason I say that, being in this medium, fellas, he never once bit his tongue. He would tell it like it is. Yeah. And as I got older and you kind of respected, like, this guy always, I mean, he was a straight shooter. And even then, when we saw the Joe Lacob debacle, he was the one taking the bullets. This is crazy. But he was standing up for what he loved. And, you know, Shasky, it's shame on me, Bonte. I appreciated Rick as I got older. But if I were to include him on this list, then I would have had, and I don't want to give it away, other guys, and it just got
come on.
Just
fair.
But I'm going to explain it when I do my list on why he was omitted. You know?
Let's go out to 211. Let's go out to our main man, 211. He wants to talk about all-time Raiders here. 211, long time no here. Good afternoon, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I hope you guys are blessed as well, man. It's good to hear you guys. Just always listening. Hey, I agree with you, everything you guys said on the Raiders, no doubt. Woodson, not even top five. Love the guy, but no. And here's a question, man. Me and my son were arguing because he saw some of your guys' list, and he was like, can you believe the audacity of these guys that there's no Raiders on there? And it hurt me to say it, and I say it, son, with the history in the Bay Area, I don't even think the Raiders cracked the top 25 at all.
No.
I'm not going to go that way. Yeah,
I'm not going to go that far. So I had I had Gene Upshaw somewhere in the teens, Bonte. I don't know about you. I had Gene Upshaw somewhere in the teens, and I had Art Shell right behind him. Art Shell's impact as one of the first African-American coaches in football, just in general, like, and obviously one of the all-time great linemen. Like, the way I look at Gene Upshaw, I'm telling you, man, he is one of the greatest guards to ever play the game. And just all of his contributions, he deserves somewhere in the top 20.
Ray Guy's
great. Great call. I didn't even think of Ray Guy. That's a great call.
We've been seeing that on the text line as well. That's a good pull, Guru. Great guy's getting a lot of love as well. And look, the one guy who was tough for me not to put on, Kenny Stabler. And look, I'm only 37 years old. I never watched him play. But watching all the football lives and watching all the historic games and watching and just listening to how his teammates talked about him. And then how people just propped up Joe Namath there in the 70s. I'm looking at Stabler's stats, and I'm saying, why did Kenny the Snake Stabler get enough love? He's a big game player. He was part of those big games, and he held that offense down when they had Fred Biletnikoff and Cliff Branch. He was throwing those bobs, and then later on, Jim Plunkett. But Kenny Stabler was the guy for me, fellas, where I went back and forth with Reggie Jackson, Willie McCovey, Kenny Stabler, Gene Upshaw, Steve Young, and T.O. It was just like, it was so hard. It was so hard, those last two spots. So those were the guys I had barely cracking the top 10.
Well, and if you brought up Plunkett, I'm glad you did. I mean, let's make the argument for Plunkett, because Plunkett's an all-time great for me. He's one of the few Heisman Bay Area guys of all time. So right there, boom, you know, he goes into a specific echelon because he's an original Stanford Indian. He was unbelievable when they were called the Indians. He gets drafted by the New England Patriots. He's the rookie of the year. Then they change to a triple option offense, and he just fades away. Comes to the 49ers, had couple of very unforgettable seasons. He was the original number 16 before Joe Montana, and then goes to the Raiders and wins Super Bowls. Jim Plunkett deserves recognition. He's an all-time winner. I think he's the only quarterback with multiple Super Bowl wins that's not in the Hall of Fame. I could be wrong there, but I think he's on that short list. So again, Jim Plunkett is definitely deserving of being in the top 25 in my opinion, but it's just so hard, man.
Yeah, and I'll say this, and hashtag random. You talk about him and his coach Flores are not in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
You got to think something's going on. And I don't know, Al Davis, after I watched that, what's the NFL Network where they do the hour? Oh, man, and what he did for minorities back then. Look what's going on now in the world. Al Davis, he was a maverick, the first Latino. I mean, it's just. It signifies to me that something somewhere is so wrong and foul that Flores has two Super Bowl victories and he's not in. And it's just like, how can this be? How, you know, it
three
just leaves me speechless. Man, it's
all.
Just foul. It's foul. It reeks of something. It's wrong,
it does smell.
Man.
It smells really, really bad that Tom Flores isn't in the Hall of Fame. And all those Raiders. Think about Kenny Stabler, who on this day, 5 years ago, passed away and left this earth.
Then
rest
he got
peace,
it. Oh, let's
Kenny
put him
Snake
in.
Stabler. Yeah, let's put him in after he dies. Same thing's going to happen with Cliff Branch, who just passed away. We're not going to put Cliff Branch in the Hall of Fame. You think about the go routes and the way the Raiders played and the maverick that was Al Davis to seek out these players and saying, this is the type of football I want to play. We're going to take shots deep early in the game. We're going to hit the quarterback. The style of play, when you talk about 70s football in the NFL, yeah, you could talk about the steel curtain. I get it. They won 4 Super Bowls. You could talk about the Dolphins who went back-to-back and had that perfect season. You could talk about the Cowboys or Roger Staubach and all those guys. But how can you talk about the 70s football without talking about the Oakland Raiders?
Man.
Let's be honest here. They're part of some of the biggest games in NFL history.
Well, you're 100% right. But I think because they were cracking on the door for 6-7 straight years before they finally busted through, people didn't give them their just due. And they still don't get their just due. I mean, look, we're putting in like backup Steelers into the Hall of Fame. Your Cowboys, they got way too many Cowboys in the Hall of Fame.
Look at Cliff Branch numbers compared to Michael Irvin and wonder how Irvin is. And I'm just saying it, Branch.
I agree. I know. And then Fred Biletnikoff. Look, the award in college is the Fred Biletnikoff Award for excellence at the wide receiver position. He's one of the baddest white boy wide receivers of all time. Like, again, dude, like, it is what it is. George Atkinson?
Hey, Shasky, remove the word white. He's one of the baddest receivers of all time.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like,
you know what I'm saying?
There's only a couple of them. I'm giving him some love. It's Steve Largent and him.
Valinikoff, I get it, but dude, Ed McCaffrey was pretty good. Pretty good. He's not a Hall of Famer, but Brett Belitnikoff was an all-time great. Hey, let's go out to let me get the name here. Brandon in San Jose. He's been waiting on hold for a while. Brandon, sorry about that. Thank you for being patient. Get on here. Good afternoon. Welcome to 95.7 The Game.
Good. So I know you guys are talking criteria, and it's tough to make a list without certain criteria. So I see that Fortenbaugh guy really emphasis, like you guys said, athlete. But some of you, some of these guys got Kerry Walsh, Andre Ward, the jockey. When none of you guys have taken the dude who's the greatest martial artist of all time in Bruce Lee on any of these lists.
Wow.
But here's the thing with Bruce Lee. He didn't stay in San Francisco all that long. He bounced around. Seattle. Look at his Wikipedia. He was all over the place. Don't get me wrong. We claim him. Yeah, we claim him. But if you really look at the subtleties, he wasn't here that long. Don't get me wrong. I love Bruce Lee. I mean, come on, man. Who doesn't love Bruce Lee?
Oakland. He was here longer than Dion was.
Oh, no
question. True.
Was Dion on my list? Was Dion on my list? No, he was not.
Bruce Lee's the man, man. Bruce Lee
Agreed.
Got me on this list.
Agreed.
I went there. Bruce Lee, a legend. I didn't like the way the 30 for 30 went. I don't like how, the way it was produced. Thought they could have did a better job. They focused so much on his acting career, and I get it. But I thought there was a lot of things left out of the Bruce Lee 30 for 30 on ESPN here, as we are 14 minutes away from Dare to Guru Johnson's top 10 list. Yeah. It's the final list on this show. I want to hear Shasky's list later on in the show. But, Guru, I cannot wait for your list, my man.
I got it. My wife's going to hand it to me. She's got it in an envelope, so she's going to walk it over to me. And
This is going to be like the A.J. Jenkins, Jim Harbaugh, Trent Baalke thing. I have a name in my pocket, and I'm going to reveal
I'll
it.
Never forget that. Wow, man. Goo,
who else did you leave on the chopping block that maybe you've seen on some of these other lists? I'm curious.
Klay Thompson.
That's a problem.
It bothered me. And I even told Steiny before he left, I looked at Klay as a two. And at the end of the day, man, you talk about Joe Dumars, who's in the Hall of Fame, rightfully so. We never called him a two to Isaiah. And, you know, I know Isaiah wasn't great as Curry, but Klay needed his due, and I just – there was no room for me to put him in, man.
Well, so I feel that way about Chris Mullin, right? So, like, for me, Chris Mullin never got the appreciation or the just due from a lot of the younger people. And they're like, Klay. And don't get me wrong. I love Klay. I mean, there's an argument for both guys. Yeah. But I'm still not convinced Klay is a better warrior right now than Chris Mullin. And, he's still got the rest of his career to go.
You may be right.
Maybe I'm too remembering my childhood.
You know what, though? I think Klay Thompson's going to be one of those guys 10 years from now, or 10 years after he retires, he's going to be more appreciated when he's gone. It just feels like it because he's so quiet.
Agreed.
He goes about his business. Steph Curry gets all the limelight. Draymond Green, for a stretch, got all the limelight. He got more limelight than Klay Thompson. And Klay Thompson's popularity has started to ascend. And it started basically, I think it's really ascended over the last 3 years. You got Toaster Klay. You got China Klay. You got him going out there getting hung on the rim in China. And he's starting to come into his own here. And I think this next chapter of Klay Thompson's career, whether or not he wins another ring, whether or not he gets another All-Star appearance, whether or not he gets an All-NBA defensive performance, he can submit himself in the top 10 with the way these next 3 to 5 years go. I think we got to wait and see with Klay Thompson. Right now, today, he's not top 10. But, man, in 5 years,
real quick, Shasky, do you see similarities with Jeff Kent and Klay Thompson?
Ooh. I know Jeff Kent Klay, was not. Oh, no, here's the thing. Already Klay has more longevity. He has more longevity, and he has the team accomplishments. Jeff Kent, forgotten Giant. It's as if he never played for the Giants, disgusting. He's one of my favorite Giants of all time. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's the greatest slugging second baseman I've ever seen in my life.
We don't hear his name at all.
He's one of the baddest dudes
ever.
Guru. He should have never left in free agency. They wanted to run this guy out of town because he lied about hurting himself popping a wheelie on a motorcycle. But I want to ask you both because I'm having a conversation with my brother. This has been such a fun week. My boys have been calling me. My brother's been hitting me up, and he goes, look, I know how much you love these guys. And I'm going to ask you, B, I'm going to ask you, Guru. Frank Gore and Patrick Willis. I said, Pat, I love Frank. He knows how much I love Frank Gore. He knows how much Patrick Willis means to me. And and I know how much he means to my brother and all my buddies because he captured an era of 49er football when there wasn't a lot to be excited about.
Right.
And Frank Gore, the same thing. They represent something that's bigger than their stats. But I just, they didn't get that team championship. And it would be different if they got that one ring. It would. It would be different if they got that one ring. But, man, you know they don't have the longevity. And it's just, it hurts me to not have them on this list.
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to lie to you guys. All right. You guys, Shasky, you worked with me for a long time. Guru, you worked with me for a long time. You guys know how I feel about Frank Gore, the Inconvenient Truth. My top five 49ers of all time, Frank Gore is in that list, alongside John Taylor and Steve Young. I mean, he is – Frank Gore means to me – I mean, he's the type of guy, Guru, that I drafted every year in fantasy football. I did not care. I just wanted Frank Gore on my team to have a rooting interest in not only the Niners, but because of the love I have for Frank Gore. He played hard. He got over 4.5 yards a carry. He never complained. He was the ultimate teammate coming back from two torn ACLs at the University of Miami. People forget that. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. Not going to lie to you guys. He didn't even cross my top 25. He didn't even cross my mind when I read up, when I made up this list. I thought, and I seen it on the text line over the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Boy, because when I just think of 49ers, like, is Roger Craig a better Niner? I know Frank Gore has the numbers.
No, no.
I know Frank Gore has the numbers. And I know what he means to this region.
Hugh McElhaney, no.
Honestly, Frank Gore didn't even make my top 20, top 25
in this list. And
what about
Willis? What about Willis?
Didn't even cross my mind.
Willis,
I want to hear Guru real quick, Shatsky. Yeah. I want to hear Guru here with Gore and Willis before you get off here, Shatsky.
I will argue until I'm dead and gone that Gore had is a better running back than Roger Craig. And when I hear Roger Craig's name, I think of the system he was in, not taking anything away from him. But, Bonte, you hit the nail on the head. The fact that they didn't get it done against the Ravens, I wonder what that Super Bowl victory, and Frank did everything he was supposed to do, got him down there. But you know what, real quick? You don't go to the University of Miami and not have game and talent. And I think Frankie G, we take it for granted. He's quiet, but the dude was a bell cow. And it's just sad that I don't have him on my top 10. I'm feeling some type of way. And it goes that way with Willis. Like, what are we forgetting? Yeah. Did they not get them done?
They
or is it Justin Smith? Did he make Willis?
No,
you know, I don't know.
No,
Patrick Willis
know.
Willis.
But it's a crime. It's a crime, both of those.
Guru, I've watched 49er football in person my entire life. I've been very lucky. From the minute he stepped on the field, he was a Hall of Fame player for every snap he took until the very end. That's how good Patrick Willis was. But I put him in the same category of Lincecum. Their body of work, although it's so small, was so extraordinary. The fact that it's even in the conversation is kind of remarkable. It really is. If we were talking about the greatest excellence I've ever seen, not like greatest athletes all time and longevity, just excellence over a small period of time, then Lincecum goes in. Then Willis goes in. Those guys, Patrick Willis redefined linebacking play for me. He's one of the greatest players I've ever seen, and he could have played in any era.
You know, the retirement that just came out of nowhere, the abrupt retirement of Patrick Willis, I think hurts him here. It really does hurt him here in this conversation. We're talking about the greatest
here
in the Bay Area. It. Frank Gore, I felt the shame I didn't have more consideration for Frank Gore. I really am. Because Frank Gore, he embodied what a 49er was. And for all those years that they lost, that they were just terrible, where there was about 20,000 empty seats at Candlestick Park, Frank Gore was Mr. Consistency. He was the offensive weapon on a team. They were just rolling out terrible receiver after receiver after receiver. It was embarrassing.
Jackson.
Daryl Jackson from Seattle for a third-round pick. He was awful. Isaac Bruce. You know, Isaac Bruce was 50 years old.
Winners.
That was like the best receiver he had up until Michael Crabtree and Vernon Davis. It's tough for me not to even have Frank Gore in the top 20. It is what it is.
But that shows
respect to the Bay Area.
Exactly.
The Bay Area, we have been spoiled. You think about New York. You think about South Beach, Miami. You think about Dallas and everything in Texas, Houston. You think about Phoenix. You think about L.A. You could put the Bay Area's greatest of the greats against anybody in this nation. That's how great. That's how lucky we are here in the Bay Area. And Frank Gore, fellas, he just didn't crack my top 20, top 25.
And who's it down? It's me, Kolsky, and I believe Whitey, if he does his list tonight. We got three hosts left.
JD,
and
where's JD's list?
JD, what are the odds of Frank Gore's name coming up? And
I
had his name
it.
Made the
Let's
crack
10,
the top 10, I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
No,
I wouldn't have had a problem
Here's the thing. Had he played on if he played in the 80s with those teams and he racked up two Super Bowls, I think he's in this top 15. I really do. Man. Frank Gore's one of the greatest running backs that the 49ers have ever seen. They've been a team since 1946. Yeah. I mean, the guy was putting out numbers on the worst offenses we've ever seen in our lives.
1695, that year under North Turner and with Larry Alex Smith, Allen, and the Niners 7-9. 1695.
Larry Allen is, man. He's
one of my favorites.
Okay. How about this one on the text line real quick? Offensive linemen don't get a lot of love. They haven't been on any list.
No.
925. Wow. What about Joe Staley?
So it's interesting you reference Joe Staley. Woo. Joe Staley, great career, but he cannot surpass Bob St. Clair. Bob St. Clair, born and raised in San Francisco, went to Pauley High right
now. Bob in the hall?
I don't even know why I got started on this guru.
Of course Bob's in the hall.
I've heard this so many times.
All right, the 1951 Staley's U.S.
going.
Dons.
Staley's
okay?
going.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I love Joe Staley. Bob St. Clair is one of the greatest NFL players ever, okay? And he's one of the greatest San Franciscans of all time. The guy ate raw meat, for Christ's sake. Bob St. Clair, number 79, and if you're going for a second, person, give me Leo the Lion Nomolini, who played
defensive
line
and
offensive line, who was also a professional wrestler in the offseason. I mean, just into my wheelhouse, 1960s Niners. Man. Let's do this.
Hey, Guru, this guy spent so much time with Grandpa Shasky. I've heard these names over and over and over.
Over and over and over.
I feel like I know Leo, and I know Bob St. Clair.
We're Facebook friends. Sometimes I think it's Butcher. I'm like, this is Pops.
Oh, you're talking about Papa Shasky. I'm talking about Grandpa Shasky.
Grandpa Shasky
over there with the sickest Niners jacket I've ever seen in my life.
That's going to Levi's Stadium.
Awesome. And Guru, I'll never forget after the Seattle Monday night game, Grandpa Shasky's in the Periscope, and he just dropped the sickest one-liner I ever heard. He goes, fellas, I see some great wins, and I see some horrible losses. This, my friends, was a horrible loss. And it was this mic drop. And the way he said it, Guru, was everything.
That had to be the Seattle game.
Yeah, it was the longest game in the history. He goes, that's the longest game I've ever been to. It went into overtime and went all the way to the end of overtime. Yep. It felt like an eight-hour marathon.
Grandpa Shasky, we'll talk more about him. Papa Shasky, Norm, we'll get him in the conversation too, Guru. But coming up next, the list we've all been waiting for, the people's champ, the one and only Daryl the Guru Johnson, will unveil his top 10 right here on BSNG. Joe Shasky here from Matt Stein. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson, Bonta Hill. We got Kyle and Joe back there at the studio. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.